Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Only in America.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the Randy Tobler Show as we are rolling along here in the new year. Glad that you are with us. Good to be with you. Having a couple of technical issues as we try to get things going this morning. So bear with us. We will do our best to try to bring you what's going on in the world. The jobs report in yesterday, not all rosy as you might think, though. SCOTUS is going to accelerate the U.S. versus Idaho on abortion for life for the mother case. And oh, yeah, they're going to hear that Colorado case as well and accelerate that. So Supreme Court's going to be a little busier than they're used to for the near term anyway. So lots going on there. In addition, we have news from Blaine Lutgemeier on the national scene. Blaine says he's not going to run this cycle, which opens up a whole can of worms. We hope to talk to Bob Onder, former state senator and longtime legislator, also a fabulous allergy and immunologist, in case you need one of those. and we'll talk to him at 8:25. We're going to talk to Mark McCloskey at 8:06, get his take on what's going on in the world, particularly in terms of this election cycle and is it all done but the shouting? And seems as though you look at the polls in Iowa, they just have not budged. They're just not budging at all. We don't know, though, whether the polls are accurate. The polls have been inaccurate before. Next week, just this coming week, in fact, there'll be a few town halls, three of them, in fact, on Fox News. DeSantis, Haley, Trump. At the same time, on the 10th, will be CNN and a non-sanctioned RNC, not involved. And when I asked an RNC spokesman last week about it, well, we don't really comment on that. That's not anything we're about. We'll see whether anything happens in terms of traction for DeSantis and Haley. I don't think Christie has, as of my last check, now this was Wednesday, Thursday, I don't think that Chris Christie has qualified. We'll have to see where it goes, though. Have to see. In addition, St. Louis mask recommendations. That's an interesting scenario. The ups and downs of that. As first it was a mandate, then it's not, then it's a recommendation. But I don't know about you, Jerome, but if there's a boss that's saying, hey, I highly recommend you wear your mask, you know, but that's okay. You don't have to. I know what would happen there. So I think this is interesting. As there is a little bump in influenza and COVID, we are deep into the respiratory season now. Those outings to the sports bars, those holiday parties, always create a little bit of an Oster or your other Sunbeam or Ninja, whatever your favorite brand of blender is that blends those viruses, moves them around, helps them get exposed to new opportunities to reproduce. That's what's going on. It is prudent to be careful, though. And if you do have an active virus or cold and you have to be out, it's probably a good idea for others' sake to wear a mask. I don't know if you really protect yourself much with a standard surgical mask. I'm pretty convinced that the data is poor, that unless you have an N95, and even then, it's not total protection. But unless you have a well-fitting and actually professionally fitted, you know, with the help of a chamber that, you know, lets the fitter know whether you're really fitted right, not sure that anything is really going to protect you a lot from incoming. But certainly outgoing coughs and sneezes and even talking probably give others around you some protection. And then interesting story, too, on a TSA assistant federal security director that was arrested on charges of forgery. Yes, a TSA assistant federal security director down in Florida. We're going to be talking to Richard Lyons, who's author of The DNA of Democracy and Shadows of the Acropolis, on his take on the American scene, where we're headed in 24, and whether it's really retrievable while we hear the Democrats trying to ruin democracy by taking a viable candidate off of the ballot, a leading candidate off the ballot for their opposition. Talking about saving democracy at the same time. It's hypocrisy. It's the height of hypocrisy, in fact. And we'll see how Richard Lyons interprets that whole goings on. And of course, Virginia Cruda as well. So tons going on. The number's 314-912-1019, 314-912-1019. This jobs report is something to behold. I mean, there were 200,000 jobs reported. But I think the big news in that mess was that we really didn't see the true numbers from back in November and December, November, until we get them 2 months later here in January. And it's been a trend that I've noticed. Maybe you've noticed it too. It seems as though they continue to modify down. They're always augmenting these numbers in the negative direction as far as the revisions go. You rarely see a report where, 2 months ago when we reported 200,000 jobs, it was actually 230,000 jobs. So everyone rejoiced, things are good, we're all happy, and jobs are growing. No, that's not the case. It always seems to be that they come out with a splash higher than predicted, higher than the experts thought, and indeed, that's not actually how it works out. Doesn't make sense. Don't understand it. But certainly, we got to keep our eye on the statisticians. I don't know if there's anything that we can believe anymore. I mean, that's where we're coming down to, right? Do we really have any idea that we or any certainty that we can have faith and belief in, what's going on when they give us numbers? We certainly couldn't believe what they said about masks first. Fauci said, they don't work. Then they do work. Well, then the data says, not so much. And then same on the vaccine. I was avid about the vaccine. I was avid about it. I thought it would be a great thing. I thought it was really going to put a kibosh on the spread and the likelihood someone would get this disease, which can be deadly. It was deadly. I saw it. But it turns out that it wasn't quite as effective. And you know what? I still recommended it. Were there a vaccine today that was absolutely in lockstep with the circulating virus, I'd probably be much more avid about it than I currently am. I think there are still some pockets of eligibility. We know that the government is coming out with a new thrust, a new push. I've read the CDC. I'm reading the NIH. I'm reading all the officials say, the reason we're having this surge is because people aren't getting vaccinated. It's another echo from Joe Biden's, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Well, come on, Joe. This virus is smarter than you. It's smarter than the researchers. And here's another question for you. Are they just trying to prop up these Pfizer and Moderna, the vaccine manufacturers? Whatever happened to the monoclonal antibodies? Whatever happened to that? Remember, that was one of Governor Ron DeSantis's major, major, I think, triumphs during this thing. Early on, he realized the value of getting antibodies that are effective in, like sponges, taking up the virus, keeping it out of the harm's way, basically, and packaging it so it was ready for disposal by our immune system. I personally, and I think you docs and nurses and nurse practitioners and PAs and people in the medical business out there know. I know my friend Gene Cheatham saw it. When those monoclonals came around, it was a game changer. And all they were just basically mop-up antibodies. They were antibodies directed to the then circulating variants, and it was able to as the virus was circulating and trying to reproduce, they're mopping them up. And my understanding is from the manufacturer of these things that they can be pretty nimbly adjusted to the various mutations that occur in the virus. That's the way viruses, extend themselves and continue their life on as an entity, as a species, if you will, because they become contagious by becoming less virulent. So they don't kill all of the hosts that they infect. They need us to replicate. But by the same token, they need to change and stay a step or two or three ahead of our immune systems, which are pretty adept at adapting to whatever foreign agent that the immune system sees come in. At any rate, it's much quicker, I understand, to produce a monoclonal than it is a vaccine, and I don't understand why we don't see those coming on. The ones that were available early on that were so effective. I mean, we saw people turn around in 24 hours. People that were their oxygen levels in their blood were just awful. They were struggling to breathe. They were coughing. They were fevers just on death's doorstep. And I mean, really started feeling pretty good within a few a day or two. The earlier, the better. We saw a lot of people that probably would have gone in that direction if they got them earlier. At any rate, I don't understand why that hasn't happened, why they're still pushing a vaccine, which now, I mean, it came out in what, September, October. And as best I can read the literature, it seems as though the current circulating virus is not the one that the current vaccine is targeted to. That's not to say that there may not be some effectiveness, but certainly I think that's in question. On to the Supremes, who are going to hear the Colorado disqualification. They're going to be hearing this. This is really a novel and pivotal question in our country's history. Yesterday, the Supreme Court of these United States agreed to consider whether Donald Trump can be deemed ineligible because a few people in robes decide that, he was part of an insurrection. And therefore, as an insurrectionist, the 14th Amendment, the third section of the 14th Amendment applies to him, and they got to kick him off the ballot. We can't have an insurrectionist. That's a threat to democracy. Whoa, wait a minute. What's he been accused of? You guys are the judge, jury, and executioner for a major, perhaps the most important election in, well, I'm not going to say in this country's history, but in most recent history. It's an important time in our country. Is populism going to win, or is elitism? Are the Ivy League graduates that are running your lives, they're running your lives now from Washington, D.C., are they going to win the day, or is it going to be populism through either a Trump or a DeSantis? Or, you know, I can't see anyone else in the field that we could call a populist. Nikki Haley so disappointed me yesterday. I've got some sound we'll play there. I mean, when Nikki came out and tried to cuddle and nurture the illegal aliens, it's unbelievable. For all of his faults, Donald Trump represents a symptom. It's a moaning. It's a groaning of the people that just cannot take any more of the tyranny and the corruption that, of course, always goes hand in hand. Very friendly bedfellows. That's what it is that ruins our lives and what ruins our educational system. If you want to take a specific example, it's now taking its toll on the military recruitment down because people don't want to be socially engineered. They'll take care of their own social engineering. Thank you very much. They just want to be protected. They want a sovereign nation. They want tight borders. They want a strong defense, a monetary system that has some sanity to it. That's what people want, not getting it. And that's why Donald Trump, despite all of his many flaws, his hyperbole, his frank lies, I mean, he lies like a rug, just like they all do. But at least he hugs the flag. On Christmas, he talked about Jesus and salvation and the Christ child. What did Joe and Jill do? They read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. That tells you a little something. That really describes the divide that we're in. We're in a cultural divide. We're in a political divide. But, of course, politics is downstream from culture. Until we reel that culture back in, we're not going to get it together, which is the whole problem with Donald Trump. He's not the cultural character that we would, I think, want to say is our shining star on the hill. Anyway, that's what's coming up on the show. We're going to be talking with Mark McCloskey, Bob Onder, Richard Lyons, Virginia Cruda, a cast of thousands, and hopefully you too. I'm Randy Tobler. There's Jerome. We're the Randy Tobler Show on News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. Stay there. Welcome back to the program. I'm Randy Tobler. Thanks for being with me this morning as we get the new year underway here. You know, it's a funny time in America. I think we have, well, I've said it for a long time, and I maintain that until we get our cultural chops back together, no policy, no single man, and I don't mean in a betrothed kind of a way, but no single person, no assemblage of 535 people in a building in D.C., or assemblages of people around these United States are going to be able to solve our problems. we have a cultural problem. We have eye disease. We have a problem where people are so, I think, social media, the availability of a supercomputer in your hand everywhere you go to entertain you, inform you, oh, give you affirmation, when hundreds of people can just click something that you say or digitize. We've got to do a gut check in terms of what it is that drives and has driven this country. And I think the majority of people, I think, get it. I'm not sure that the majority of people live it in the workplace, as one example. And I'll tell you that I experienced that just Thursday. And Jerome, I'm going to send you that document that we were talking about right now. There you go. Here, and by the way, the number is 314-912-1019. If you'd like to weigh in on the program, I'd love to talk with you about some of these thoughts I have. You know, you have a lot of time to think over the holiday. Well, you don't have a lot of time, but you have some time, the time that you're not at work and you're thinking and pondering and wondering. And so as we got back into the swing of things, patient care went on with our practice body of health. And that's the cool thing. We do a lot of virtual work. We do work, even though our physical office is in Columbia, we do a ton of work with folks that, and for those of you who've come and visited me, and then we do the rest of it, 90% of it then can be done virtually, which makes it very cool. But we got in the swing of seeing patients on site again in a more robust manner here this week. And I had a patient come in, a good friend of mine, who's an older fella, got another underlying condition. Turns out, I mean, had a bad case of COVID. His oxygen levels were down, and, you know, he was sort of looking pretty punky. This is an active fellow, and otherwise very, very healthy. And so there's this medicine called Paxlovid. And it's a two-component medicine. One of the components is the active antiviral. The other component is sort of a decoy. It sort of prevents the enzymes that would break down the active medicine from breaking it down quickly. And so you take them together twice a day. And in the studies that have been done, I mean, in one study that had several thousand patients in it, the placebo group, the sugar pill group, there were 17 deaths. In the treatment group, it's got to be given within the first 5 days. And like most antivirals, whether it's Tamiflu for the influenza or whether it's Paxlovid, the earlier the better. But anyway, in the treatment group, no one died. It's a remarkable medicine. It's not magic. It's not perfect. It's like vaccine. It's like masks. They have a role. They're not perfect. They can help in the right circumstance, done the right way. But so I prescribed, I had taken Paxlovid when I had COVID, my first, and as far as I know, only bout thus far of COVID, a couple summers ago. I don't think it was last summer. I think it was summer before. And that was despite having had the vaccine and been boosted in the fall of 21. And we had a little mild illness. It wasn't too bad. It was like a bad cold, a mild flu, lasted for a few days. Not a big deal. I remember missing the Newstalk STL first anniversary party that year. Oh, I was on my way there, and I started feeling sort of funky, and I stopped off and got a home test, and by golly, it was positive, so I missed the test. Really a bummer. But so I prescribed Paxlovid. I get a call from his daughter. Oh, 45 minutes later, she says, I'm at the Walmart and they tell me that it's going to cost $1,000. I think it was over $1,000. It was either $1,000 or $1,200. It was ridiculous. I said, well, you got, hello? I said, I paid like $25 for it. It wasn't anything. When I took it a couple of years ago, I said, what's going on? It's not covered. So this guy has a program. It's a Medicare program called Silver Scripts, Aetna CVS Caremark. If you're listening there and you're from Aetna CVS or Caremark, listen up. if you have a choice, you may want to listen up. If you're looking at, is it Aetna? Is it whatever? I think they're all United Healthcare, Anthem. They're all the same. They make profits by rationing care and denying and cost shifting. They get the premiums from you, depending if it's Medicare, if it's Obamacare, your employer, they get a nice dose of premium from them. If it's Obamacare, they get subsidy from the government. Oh, it's a great deal. They've worked it out. So they did that deal with the devil with Obamacare. I told you so, guys. I told you it was going to be a disaster. Yeah, well, you just mandate that people need to buy our product, and then we'll make sure and make it work out for your patient, for your citizen. Yeah, right. Well, just trust us. We're United Healthcare. We're Anthem. We're Aetna. Just trust us. We're looking out for the folks. Yeah, just trust us. So, I can't believe that the American people bought that. Everyone that voted for Obamacare, everyone that votes for Medicare Advantage, they should be primaried out of office this spring. Well, this winter starting. I mean, I can't believe y'all are voting for this stuff. Well, you probably aren't, but I mean, people that vote for the representatives that do this, a shame on them. At any rate. So that's a quandary. I mean, this guy needs the Paxlovid. It reduces the risk of hospitalization probably by 70-80%. It makes a difference, especially in people who have more susceptibility to the virus, and things can go south in a hurry. The older you are, the more underlying things you have. I mean, it makes a difference. So, well, I get worked up over it. It's about 6:30 at night when I hear that. And so I go to work. They send me a picture of the gentleman's card. Medicare Advantage card, the silver sneakers, not silver sneakers, silver scripts. And so I called the provider helpline. And I get this unintelligible stream of consciousness gobbledygook. If you're having resistance in getting a denial in making a COVID-19 claim, then there's a waiver that can be formed. It's number 61506, and you need to file under line 256 and then refile and send it to this. They're talking about hospital claims, about claims for care out of the office. There's not an I call back again. I go through the whole queue again. I wait for the, it can't talk to a person. You're getting the robot. Finally, I talked to someone and said, it says, okay, this is the wrong line. You need to call the customer ID line. Now, I'm not the customer. I'm the doc. I'm not the customer. So I call the customer line, Jerome. This is great. This would have been a Saturday Night Live thing. And I thought about maybe recording it. I'll go back and do it again. But I don't want to give the guy's ID number. That's the problem. So they say, they're talking to me now like I'm a patient. The robot's talking to me, the AI. What is your ID number? Okay, the number was like G6Q8. It wasn't even Q. It was like K. It was very, with four numbers and two letters. Not one, not two, not three. I tried eight times. You know, you give them the number 5Q6843. Let me see if I got that right. 9, 2, 1. No. Is this correct? No. Of course, you have to listen for the whole wrong thing. Is this correct? No. I read the number back again to the stupid idiot. You want to just take the computer that she's talking from and just smash it to the ground. I mean, smash it to the ground like someone's tackling Travis Kelce. And are you a wrestler? You know what I mean? Just like, bam, gone.
Oh, absolutely.
So I keep going. Finally, I don't know what happened. I finally just started yelling. Finally, I get someone, hello, this is Camila. I'm talking to you from wherever. She didn't say that. How can I help you today, sir? Are you having a good day? I said, no. I said, my patient just got charged $1,000. They paid it, by the way, Jerome. They paid it.
Wow.
They wanted the medicine. I said, I have a simple question. Can you tell me the patient's number? I said, yeah, I've been trying to tell your robot surrogate that's going to put you out of work the number. What the hell are you doing not advocating? Well, she's a Filipino, I think. She's foreign. And so we had this conversation. I'm getting more and more lathered up and more fired up over this. So what is the patient's diagnosis? I'm like, what the hell? This is Paxlovid. I'm not giving it for an earache. So I keep on going. I give her all the information. Oh, let me see. Just a moment. So I'm listening to the music for another 20 minutes. Oh, this medicine is not covered. I know that. I know that. That's why I'm calling you. Literally going crazy in real time. It's Thursday night. I'm on the air from 6 to 9 in Columbia now. I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock. I've been working for, 15 hours at this point. I just want the... I told her, I said, ma'am, I know it's not your deal. Can you just please connect me with a physician that can tell me what the alternative is? I know what the alternative is. You know what the alternative is? Go to the hospital and get an IV of something called remdesivir. My patient's already home by this time. His wife's got him tucked in probably a weighted blanket. I actually said maybe a good idea, a weighted blanket. And my patient's home. Why would they want to spend an ER visit, IV fluids, a doctor charge from the ER, the cost of the remdesivir? I'm like, look, Camila, can you and I talk? Can we talk Camila? Can we just talk? I'm trying to get my patient coverage. It used to cost $20. Then I did some, while I'm going back and forth, I did some research. You know what the deal is? In November, it went off of emergency use authorization. Up until then, the government was paying for it or paying for the majority of it. Now it's in the hand of commercials. So now the commercials are responsible for distributing it, and they bear the risk. They bear the financial risk of you getting Paxlovid if it's indicated for you. For instance, if you're over 65, if you have other comorbid conditions, there's some indications for it. This guy qualified. All over the map, he qualified. And that's what it is. They're not getting subsidized anymore. Before, they were happy to give it to you for $20. Now, they're going to bend you over and they want you to pay over $1,000 for a medicine because they need to maximize their profits. You know what I told her? I said, you know what, Camilla? I don't know what you make, but the guy that's denying my patient care and underpaying you, a very nice lady. I kept apologizing that I was hammering her. I really did. I mean, I always feel bad, but I keep begging them. Look, I don't want to talk to you. I appreciate you. Thank you. You're pleasant. Let me talk to a doctor. I need to find out if this guy can get covered or what. And then I make the fatal mistake. Then I say, you know what? I'm going to put your name, Camilla. I'm going to put whatever your medical director's name is. I'm going to put the name of CVS, Aetna CVS Caremark on this patient's chart. And if he can't afford to get this medicine, he actually paid it. But, you know, I'm going to put your name on the chart that you've created amazing hardship for this patient and you're practicing medicine. And how many people are you? And I told him I'm going to put it on the air. How many people can't just pop up with $1,000? I imagine it wasn't him. I imagine it was his daughter. She's in the healthcare scene. You know, how many people can't afford it? How many people aren't going to get it? How many people are going to die because they don't get their Paxlovid? Guys, I'm telling you. So finally, then it gets better. Well, I'll tell you the story when we come back. Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's give you a chance to cool down a little bit.
I am so worked up. I'm telling you, my wife's up here. I'm down in the Liberty Lair today, and I'm pretty worked up. My wife says you better cool off for a minute. So I'll cool off for a minute. We'll come back, and I'll give you the rest of the story because it just goes on and on and on. Stay there. Randy Tobler with you. If you have a story like this, let me know. We need to get out on the air. This should become a prominent topic on your list when you talk to whoever's running for Blaine Lutkemeyer's office. Are you going to fight the increasing consolidation and tyranny coming from commercial insurers? And oh, by the way, your government. Okay, I'm Randy Tobler. We'll be back. 314-912-1019. Yeah, I just heard the tail end of that bumper right now. When you cued me back in, Jerome. So that's good. I think we're making progress here. We've had some, I think the gremlins got into the studio sometime over the holidays. I don't know. So anyway, if you're just joining me, I can't tell you how important it is for you to take to heart stories like I'm telling you. When I diagnosed COVID-19 in a patient, a friend of mine, dear friend, older fella, wasn't a hard diagnosis. I mean, you know, extreme fatigue, fevers, congestion, cough, do a little test. And in a little in-office test, we do it free as part of our service at the practice. You know, we got a lot of things we do for free. That's part of the membership model. It's cool. People love it. You know, they just come in. There's no copay. You know, just come on in because you're paying a monthly fee and you just, you know, whether it's by phone, by video, on site, you just come in. You know, if we can cover it in the office, it's covered. That's what we do. So he comes in. I run the influenza. It's negative. Helene runs the COVID-19. It's positive. My wife, Helene, you know her. You've heard her before. You're probably hearing her more on the air. She's a health nut. Jerome, she'll get after you about eating the kale, brother. If you're not eating your kale, you're in trouble if you're around her.
Oh, boy.
And salmon. You like your salmon?
Oh, I absolutely love fish, yes.
Okay, well, you and she would get along then, so that'll be good. Okay, so we diagnose the COVID, and I say, look, I really think you should be on Paxlovid. It's this medicine. It's an antiviral. And I called it in. I sent it in by the e-prescription. I thought, good. And I was sitting there doing some paperwork, wrapping up the day. By that time, it's about 6:30. And then I get a call from his daughter that it's not covered. It's not covered. Not that it's like it's covered, but there's a significant copay. It is not covered. So I quickly hurry to all of the resources I have. There's one called Up to Date. There's the CDC. And I go to all I can that, man, am I missing something? Has there been something new come out here? Is there everything I can find? But I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I can't keep up with everything. I do make mistakes. But when it comes to evolving new, fresh information, man, sometimes there's something that came out last week and I'm just not aware of it yet. Okay, great. So, you know, gut check, pinch yourself. Okay, I get online and I'm, yeah, okay, follow the algorithm. If bingo, fits that. Yes, no, fits that. Yeah, yeah, Paxlovid is what he needs. 80% risk reduction in severe disease hospitalization. In the study, 17 people in the placebo group died and none in the treatment group. Well, I guess sounds like something I'd want. In fact, I took it a couple of years ago when I had COVID. I wasn't even really that eligible for it. I just wanted to take it. So I called it. So anyway, the guy, they charge him $1,000. So then I get involved. It took me, I couldn't get the robot to understand the numbers on his ID card. I kept over and over. Then I finally get to a person, finally. I'm yelling at this time into the phone. And then I talk to Camila and she's, well, so it's not covered, sir. I cannot tell you. I said, well, look, can you tell me the alternative? What do you cover? I am not equipped to do that. That is not my job. I can't do that. So remember, I got into this discussion about how the culture is decaying. And a number one cultural problem, if you're younger, if you're not so young, but you're lazy and you've lost your moral scruples, and if you're a person of faith and you haven't read the book James, if you're a person of faith and you haven't read the book James in a while, read the book James, one of my wife's favorite books in the Bible. If you're younger and you're buried in your own little world, your own little utopian digital world that you can create for yourself. Listen to this too. Jerome, this doesn't apply to you. This doesn't apply to you. There are lots of young people who actually have a great moral service ethic in life and in work. Okay, I want to make that clear. Jerome is one of them. Everyone at this radio station, for that matter, is one of them. I can tell you that. From the owners all the way to the engineers, I'm all up and down the line. Okay, but there's too many people that don't want to own the problem and frankly don't give a rat's you know what. It's not their job. It's not on their job description. That's not what they signed up for. I'll send you to the next department. Okay, so that's what she said. She said, well, I have to send you to the, get this, coverage determination department. I said, well, whoa, we've already determined he's not covered. I said, I need to talk to a physician. What do you want me to do? Should I send him to the hospital to get the IV? What do you want me to do? That's a crime, by the way. I don't know why you would do that. This got effective oral medicine, which is first line therapy. And she says, I cannot tell you that. I am not equipped. Okay, well, transfer me. Okay, just a moment. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry you're having this discomfort, sir. No, you're not half as sorry as I am. You're very sorry. Your company is very sorry. And not in that sorry, apologetic kind of way. You are sorry. The worst customer service ever. And by the way, the whole way, I'm warning that I'm going to be telling you this story. I'm warning that I'm going to tell you this story. They don't seem to care. These people own so much market share. They're in bed with the government so much. They're blocking out entrepreneurialism like direct primary care, like me and several other practices in St. Louis and around the country are doing. They're trying to do all they can to obstruct cutting out the middleman, because guess what? They're the big, fat, happy and sassy middlemen. So she says, I'll transfer you. So I wait 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 9 minutes. She comes back on. Oh, they're very busy serving other customers. This went on, ladies and gentlemen, for an hour. And I didn't want to lose the connection because I do this on a cell phone, you know. Didn't want to lose the connection because I'd now been at this for about 45 minutes to an hour. I lost track. Finally, my wife texts me and says, well, ETA, where are you? This isn't the first time this has happened, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't the first time. And if you're in the healthcare industry and you have anything to do with pre-authorization, denials, getting medical necessity approval, you know exactly what I'm talking about. My question to you is, do you take the time to fight it? Do you take the time to fight the good fight? I fear that many of us have not. We've said we can't beat it. Just forget about it. Get along. Go along to get along. What does it matter? I got to get home to my family. Well, you know what? Your patients suffer. The whole society is crumbling because very few people anymore are willing to raise the battle cry. I finally waited. I said, look, I'm going to get in my car. That's the good one, Jerome. I asked her. I said, look, I'm on a cell phone. I'm going to get in my car. I haven't eaten. Literally, I hadn't eaten since about 10 o'clock that morning. After the show is when I eat. I don't eat before the show because I don't like to go on full of, you know, carbs and stuff. It fogs your brain. I said, look, ma'am, I know you don't care about the providers. You don't care about the people working in the office. You certainly don't care about the patients. Not you, but your company. You don't care. You care about the profits. That's fine. But I said, look, I'm going to go home and try to eat with my wife because I got to get to bed. I got to get up early. But, you know, and I know you don't care about that either. Oh, sir, that's not true. No, if you cared, you'd get me to a doctor. So I got in the car. Of course, I said, can you please take my number down? You know, Verizon. How many other companies would you like us to call you later? You're number 9 in the queue and it'll be an hour and we'll call you roughly. That happens all the time. Jerome, doesn't it happen to you? You say, you give us your number and they call you back. I'm like, are you guys capable of this? Oh no, we can't do that. Well, she had to check with her supervisor or someone because that was novel to her. That was like, you know, revelationary to her. Like, oh my God, what an epiphany. This is Aetna, CVS, Caremark. We're in 2024. People are getting their abdominal aortic aneurysms fixed with a catheter through the leg rather than a zipper from the breastbone to the pubic bone. What the hell's going on? You know why? Because there's only 3 or 4 big companies and they keep consolidating and they own you. They own your doctor. They own your nurses. They own your physical therapist. They own the hospital who employs them. And now they own you. And they can tell you to go to heck and you have nothing to do about it except pony up to the bar and get out your wallet. So I lost the connection. I texted my patient's daughter back. I said, look, I tried this for a little, by the clock. It was an hour and 20 minutes. I said, I'm spent. I can't do it anymore. So I'll try another day. I'm running out of gas, folks. Are you running out of gas? Are you ready to fight the good fight? How long is it? How much pain are we going to take? How much tyranny are we going to withstand? How much I don't give a darn attitude are we going to stand before we call it out? And by the way, when someone does a remarkable job and owns a problem and finds a solution and does care, and they're not just reading off of their customer service training script, they know. Yeah, I know how to. They're taught how to talk down fiery hotheads like me. I know that. If you know me in real life, I'm not that way. My window of grace is wide, as I know many of your windows or grace are wide. But there comes a tipping point, and I think we're reaching that point in America where we, the people, on so many levels, are getting tired of it, and we're not. Remember that old movie Network from years ago? Very, very good movie. We're mad as hell, and we can't take it anymore. Are we out here, Jerome? About time to get out?
Yeah, one more minute of your thoughtful wisdom.
No, this is, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ranty Tobler Show. I'm sorry. It happens. But truly, I'm not kidding you. I mean, it really worries me. these people, this woman and her parents, they were able to pony up the money. I understand now in retro, apparently you can apply for patient assistance and you might be able to get it covered, but it's already been paid for. I think these people are not going to get this stuff paid for. Beware. They're not looking out for you. They are not looking out for you. But I am. Jerome is. News Talk STL is. We'll be back at the top of the hour to talk with Richard Lyons. We'll see what he says when I summarize this story. Stay tuned.